Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship on this Reign of Christ Sunday. Next week, we begin the first Sunday of Advent and the countdown to Christmas. Today's homilist is Bishop Jean. Let us prepare our hearts for worship.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known. And from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. And we are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the collect of the day for the Reign of Christ. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, our Lord and King, grant that the peoples of the earth, now divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his gentle and loving rule, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, beginning at the first verse. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them, who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer, or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed between the lections is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. God, our strength, your power is for peace. And the pride of your mighty acts secures the city of the humble. Teach us to put our trust in your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, beginning with the 11th verse. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, and if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly for what we are getting we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He replied, Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall declare your praise. For Catholics, today is the feast of Christ the King. Anglicans call it the reign of Christ. Either way, it is the rulership of Christ. Now, when we consider a feast dedicated to Christ's glorious reign, we think of the happier stories in the Gospels, perhaps one in which Christ shows his power through a great miracle. But not today. Today, we hear about the crucifixion of Jesus, which seems not to be a happy story at all. Instead of glory, we read of Jesus being stripped of his clothing. We hear how the guards and the crowd ridiculed him. Even one of the thieves who were crucified along with Jesus ridiculed him. All this took place before his mother, his disciples, his friends, and his enemies. How awful it must have been for him. like the bad thief. We may find suffering Jesus to be the farthest thing imaginable from a mighty king. We might be mentally urging him to call lightning, to strike down his foes, and to reveal his power. In his place, I think I'd have done just that, and I wouldn't have waited that long to do it either. Maybe you as well. Jesus, though, made a different choice. Jesus saw that they hadn't a clue who he really was. They hadn't a clue as to what was actually happening or why. And Jesus prayed for the Father to forgive them. We read in the other Gospels that both thieves mocked Jesus. But Luke doesn't stop at that. He shows a change of heart in the good thief as he sees Jesus and hears him. That good thief, whom tradition names Dismas, observes not only the suffering of Christ, but also his obedience and submission. Dismas rebukes the unrepentant thief, acknowledging their crimes and the fairness of their punishment. Finally, Dismas asks Jesus to remember him when Jesus comes into his kingdom. And Jesus promises that he will join him in paradise. Three men died on a cross. One was the Son of God, winning salvation for us all. One became a child of God, repenting of his sin and demonstrating faith in Jesus. The third, as far as we know, remained locked in his anger and rebellion. Nowhere does Scripture suggest that he asked for or was granted forgiveness. That's the story. Jesus the King, dying ridiculed on the cross, opens the gate of heaven to the repentant thief and to us all who turn to him, as St. Dismas did. Jesus the Lord dies on the cross and in so doing takes the mantle of kingship upon himself and comes into his full power. How? How does death on a cross turn into the monumental power to change the course of human history and an infinite number of lives? Elsewhere in Scripture, in Zechariah, we read exactly how. Not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, let's take another look at this, because this is news we can use, as they say. Jesus has failed utterly. He was arrested, tortured, humiliated, and now killed on a cross. You've probably heard the phrase rock bottom. I think this is a pretty extreme example of what rock bottom can be. But there is Jesus, as low as it was humanly possible to go. And he turns it into majesty. He turns it into salvation. He turns it into glory, into raw, unleashed power. And he does it by his Spirit. We know what power is. We see it all around us. It's wealth, millions and even billions of dollars. It's physical strength, the ability to go long distances or lift heavy weights. It's charisma, that personal charm that draws others to yield to our desires. It's malice, the will to force others to do as we wish or else pay a heavy penalty. It's weaponry, the firepower to destroy anyone who stands in the way of our goals. These are worldly powers. There is other power. There's the power of creation. We've seen the great winds that blow trees to the ground. We've seen floods wash away cities and earthquakes swallow them up. We've seen fire turn magnificent homes into ash. All this is natural power. And as we read through scripture, we see all these powers come into play in one or the other of the great stories of salvation. We might expect to see such demonstrations of might at that moment when Christ wins the great victory over sin and death. But Jesus wins his great victory not by power, not by might, but by the power of the Spirit of God. Where is that Spirit? We don't find it in the wind or the earthquake or the fire. We find the Spirit of God in the still, small voice. So what is that Spirit? What is that voice? It's the Spirit of humility. It was the Spirit of loving trust in God. It was the Spirit of obedience. It was the Spirit of submission to the will of God the Father. If you will, remove this cup from me, but not yet my will, but thine be done. And by his yielding to that Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus stepped into his glory as Lord, King, and Savior. We all have a cross, have many of them, in fact, throughout our lives. Heavy ones, full of splinters that cause us to stumble or fall. Smaller ones that rub and rub on us like an open wound. Pain, illness, poverty, loss, defeat, loneliness. We all have a cross, and we hate them. They're not comfortable. They hurt. They slow us down. They keep us from what we want in the world. And they can break us, as the unrepentant thief was broken by the anger and the pain and the fear he felt when the time came for him to pay for his crimes. Surely the good thief also felt anger and pain and fear, but he saw Jesus. He listened. He submitted, acknowledging the justice of his sentence and asking Jesus to remember him. And through his humble repentance, he won a victory of his own. Forgiveness for his sins, entry into glory with Christ. What does all that have to do with you and me? What does that have to do with feeling unloved or broken or in pain? This scripture packs a lot into the lection, but the contrast between the two thieves mirrors the conflict we often feel when a cross comes into our lives. On the one hand, we want to push through our trials. We want to solve the problem and toss the cross. And to do that, we resort to all those worldly tactics. We throw money at the problem, or we try to charm others into fixing things for us. Maybe we use darker strategies, try to force them to do as we wish by means of threat or manipulative tactics. And of course, though, we can always turn to God. Maybe we bargain with God. And if that doesn't work, we even fight with God, threatening to turn away if we do not get what we want. You probably know someone who has gotten so angry with God that they turned away and they stayed away, sometimes for long years. And many of us have been there. When the cross is bigger and heavier than we can manage, when we fall face down into that dirt, pinned by that cross, it's easy to turn our anger and frustration onto God. If you haven't gotten there already, I can tell you it won't work. We cannot strong arm God into giving us what we want. And we can't reason him into it either. The longer we try, the bigger the cross grows. Of course, there is another way. The way of Dismas. The way of Jesus. Submission. Obedience. How we hate those words. But we must remember that God's ways are far above our own. God's foolishness is wiser than our best wisdom. And God's weakness is stronger than our greatest strength. And in the foolishness of trusting God when we're down, we find wisdom. In the humility of suffering under our cross, under our burdens, we find God there, stretching his hand to lift it from us and to help us rise. In our obedience, we are satisfied by God himself. And in our submission, we find the peace that so often eludes us. It is a magnificent secret when we stop fighting the cross and pray with Christ, "Yet not my will, but thine be done." Transformation becomes possible. Sometimes we experience wonderful reprieves from the cross we feared. Other times, we are moved to turn our cross into a sacrifice to God, offering our pain for an intention that is important to us or for someone we love. When we do, often the cross itself is transformed, and our frustration and anger are overshadowed by the sweetness of union with Christ. The pain that made us miserable is covered by peace as we offer it for the purpose we chose. Always, though, when we place our trust in God, he proves to us that he is worthy of that trust. We learn that God is indeed our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. When we make our way into the secret place of the Most High, we find that he becomes for us a true refuge and fortress. We discover that a day in the court of the Lord is better than 1,000 elsewhere, and his burden becomes sweet. What that means to us today is this: our crosses can make us bitter, or they can make us blessed. If we want to transform our experience of trial and struggle, there's no better way to do it than to follow the example of Jesus himself. Trust God, who has a plan for you, a plan to do you good and not to harm you. Humbly turn to God, not fighting him, but seeking his will in prayer. Submit to God's will in loving obedience. In this way, we accept the power of our paradoxical God, our God of wonderful surprise. We are upheld in our struggles by the joy of the Lord, our true strength. We find the peace which passes all understanding. And when our time on earth is over, we will find Christ himself welcoming us into his kingdom. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, "Lord, have mercy." For peace from on high and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the welfare of the holy church of God, and for the unity of it all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our own church, the Community Catholic Church of Canada, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our bishops and for all clergy and people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the leaders of every nation and for all in authority, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For each and every city and community, and for those who live in them in faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For good weather and for abundant harvest for all to share, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who travel by land water, or air for the sick and the suffering, especially Philip, Charlene and family, Shane, Doug, Phyllis and Pat, Jane, Paul, CJ, Bernadette, Sherry, Chris, Nancy, Pat and Dave, Carol and Wayne, Dee, Lauren, Jess, Rob, Betty, Tom, Alice, Kywin, Julie, D.A., Shannon, Chloe and Mia, Christine, and Judy, for prisoners and captives, and for all their safety, health, and salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our deliverance from all affliction, strife, and need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Remembering all the saints, we commit ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our God.
To you, O Lord.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear their requests. Fulfill now our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth and in the age to come eternal life. For you, Father, are good and loving, and we glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and every moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and everyone whom you love this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.